Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Well, did you have a good day of Independence Day? Was it good? Did you celebrate it rightfully? Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope you did. Praising God for your freedom. Freedom didn't start with America. Freedom started with Jesus. Amen. And he is the one that we give all the credit for our freedom to. There were 13 colonies that were under British control in the Atlantic coast. And they were all wanting and desiring to be free from bondage and the tyranny of England, the heavy oppression against them from England. The British, they traveled 3,000 miles from England to squelch any talk of freedom. It was 3,000 miles away, but they came to make sure any words of freedom was put down. They invaded the rights of the people. They swarmed to harass everybody, and they imposed a standing army against the colonies in peacetime. They levied taxes to the colonies without consent, and they went to war against the colonies. The Revolutionary War started April the 19th, 1775, with an exchange of gunfire in Lexington in Massachusetts. For over a year, they've been fighting at this time. And in June 11th, 1776, a committee was voted to write the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson was picked to pen the draft. That was done in 17 days while war was still going on. And the committee of five, there was five people made that committee, the committee of five picked the draft apart and made 47 edits to what Thomas Jefferson had written. Then after that 17 days, on June the 28th, 1776, a committee appointed to prepare the Declaration of Independence with the draft was given for everybody to read in the room, and it was ordered for the document to lie openly on a table for all the delegates to come and read for themselves and not just take someone reading for it. Just a few things about our independence, about the details. I'm just going to pick on one just really. So 4 days later, which was July the 2nd, the Congress officially voted to approve the document. So that was on July the 2nd. They voted to approve it. This is what we want to look at. And on July the 3rd, the delegates spent the entire day intensely and heatedly cutting and revising. They cut out 1/4 of what was written, done away with. Jefferson's draft had to be polished by them, they said, in the language. And in the process of doing this, they did this on July the 3rd. In the process of doing this, everything had to be sealed. They were sealed in a room. What month is this? It's in July. They were sealed in a room. This is what I want to talk about. Sealed in a room. Closed the doors. Closed the windows. In July. No deodorant. It wasn't invented yet. No air conditioning. They were sworn to secrecy. Everyone in that room was sworn to secrecy that they would not utter a word outside the room. Why was that? Because if any word leaked out that this was this close to being finished, and King George III heard about it, they knew that they would be drawn and quartered and hung. Won't go into the details of that, but even in the hanging, they would almost, you'd be hanging until you almost died, and they'd cut the rope to make you survive, to take more torture. Here's the thing about it. Jefferson had to sit there and listen. Think about this. You just wrote a document. You just poured out your heart on this peace, wanting freedom. And these men, these delegates are, I mean, they made 86 more changes to the draft. And Jefferson had to sit there and listen to it. With some resistance, but there was a heated conversation in that room. And not only was it a heated conversation, it was hot in that room. Most of the clothing was wool with wigs. So Jefferson is there. So why are you saying this, Pastor? I want you to understand that this was not just, okay, is that it? Sign it. We're done. It's over. No. This was a rough time for these colonies to introduce independence, their own independence, our independence today. Have you ever thought about writing something, a treasure of a speech or something that you want to give, and then you hand it to somebody and this group of people starts, just tearing it apart? Can you imagine the feeling of what you just penned was, no. This is gone. This is edited. This is gone. This is edited. Why would I bring that up? There's going to be times in mine and your life that we will have something that we treasure and that we really value a lot because either we created it or brought it up or it was our idea. How many of you had an idea, was your idea, and somebody just took it, just did away with it? Raise your hand. Somebody had you somewhere along the line, and a little bit, you feel a little bit of betrayal. But here's the thing about God. When we have checks and balances in our life and give people the freedom to be able to speak into their life and change the things that they really think needs to be changed, and we listen to them, good can come out of it. And we need to learn not to own it in such a way. It's just like this, the song, America. Somebody owns that song. A singer owns that song. Does anybody know who that is? Ray Charles. He didn't write it, but if you've ever heard Ray Charles, Brother Ray Charles sing that song, he owns that song. You understand what I'm saying? So there'll be things that we own that we bring to others that will be tested, be stepped on, and be torn apart. And God's at work the whole time. So, the next day on July the 4th, the Congress adopted the document with all of its edits and all its revisions. And 200 copies was made and sent to the copies and said, spread it around. And that was on July the 4th. It was approved on July the 4th. That's when we celebrate that day. It was signed August the 2nd, 1776. That's when everybody had an official sign into that document on August the 6th. They'd already approved it. It was a done deal for them. They just had to wait for a certain time for everybody to be there to sign. There are John Hancock. John Hancock, he was the president of not of the United States, but of this meeting of the colony. He was the president. That's the reason he's big. He's, I'm wanting everybody to know it. Unashamed of it. And then it was another 7 years of war that went on. And that's when England acknowledged, 7 years later, that's when England acknowledged, you're now the United States and you're free of any dependence upon the royal crown. We're done with you. Defeated. So when you begin to celebrate, see, that was the day that it was approved, but we have Independence Day every day. We walk in it and we live in it every day. Don't take it lightly. July, hot room. Can you imagine the odor? Can you imagine the sweat? Can you imagine? And then heated argument on top of that, what they went through to be able to forge this and make this that we have today. Should we be grateful? Absolutely. We should be grateful. We need to understand that it's just not, you know, not really a fan of saying happy July the 4th. It's not a happy July the 4th. It's almost like saying happy December the 25th. It's not that day. It is Independence Day. That's all I got to say about that. Did you learn anything? Amen. Amen. Before I get started, there's a young man by the name of Matthew Van Buskirk. Oh, I heard a woo out of that. And he is going to the Army this week. We want to pray over this young man. Is he here? He's coming here. He's what? He's in traffic. Okay. You think he'll make it before the end of the service? Hope so? We'll put that on pause and pray over him when he gets here. And if not, we'll pray for him. Amen? We want to make sure that we do that. And while we're at it, I'm going to bring up, make sure you pray for a little Ren Wilson. He got up and got ready to go to church this morning, and everything was, he was ready to go after a great day of the 4th, ready to go, and then all of a sudden he started feeling bad, sitting in mama's lap. Let's pray for Ren. Father, I thank you for little Ren. I thank you, God, that you're in charge of his life, and he's got great parents. He's got a great family around him. And they will take the best care of him that they possibly can. But you're the one who furnishes all that he needs through them and through others and through medicine. We ask you to touch his life. We ask you to touch his body. We ask you to bring healing to him. Restore him to the person you want him to be, as young as he is. Lord, we just ask you for your glory to heal him in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. We've been talking about the fullness of God. Okay. Urgent prayer for Daniel Dover. Is that Dover? Daniel Dover, stage four cancer, young children. He wants to be healed. So let's pray for Daniel. Would you do that? Father, we just lift up Daniel to you. You know every little detail about his body. You know everything about him. Nothing has missed your view and missed your heart. Nothing. Lord, you see that the diagnosis is stage 4 cancer. God, nothing is impossible for you. You're the God who is able to touch any person. You can even resurrect the dead. Nothing's impossible for you. Touch his body, Lord. Lord, I pray that you touch his mind, his heart, and Lord, let him have complete dependency, complete faith in you and trust in you. Bless his family. Bless his children. Lord, bring him through in a way that gives you glory and it benefits that entire family. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. We've been talking about the fall, the freedom, and the fullness. We talked about the fullness last couple of weeks, and I want to continue with that a little bit. See, the fullness that we are to live out is the part that we don't just, okay, we're not just saved. No, we're saved, but we have work to do. And we have work to do here. And it's mostly our work is yielding and surrendering to what he's already done. We're not trying to achieve it ourselves. We're just submitting to what he's already done. And then we partake in the fullness. He told us over in Ephesians, I didn't give you this one last week, that he said, I'm going to empower you with my love. Here's the thing about it. He is going to empower you and I with his love. Now, listen to this. He said, so that when Christ dwells in your heart through faith, you will become rooted and grounded. His empowerment of his love will cause you and I to be rooted and grounded in his love. That is huge. How many of you have ever questioned the love of God for your life? Have you ever questioned that? Be honest with me. Okay. So you begin to see that God is saying, I want you to be rooted and grounded in this so that, and he says, that you may be able to grab hold and take possession of the love that I've given you. I want you to take possession of it. I want you to own it. I want you to experience the love of God. Tangibly experience the love of God. I mean, has anybody ever, at a certain moment, something happens and you realize God loves you because he didn't let something happen? Do you understand that? See, the experience, people fuss about, well, you know, you spend too much time on experiences. I was told that by a pastor. So the problem we have with most of you guys, is you dwell on experiences. And I said, okay, do you? Oh, no. I said, have you ever experienced salvation? Yes, I have. I said, are you dwelling on the experience of your salvation? He was the one that told me, I really don't like talking to you. And I said, I don't even talk to myself sometimes. I understand it. But see, he wants us to be able to experience the love of Christ, not just know about it, but he wants us to feel the love of Christ, to be able to have that, to own it. And he goes on, he says, once you gain this experience of this empowerment, you will be filled with an influence. I love that. Once you have possession of his love, you are now furnished with influence. That's what the word means when it says that you will be filled. He said, you will have influence. Why do I need influence? He said, you need influence to be able to manifest the fullness of God. His love will influence you and I to be able to walk in our life that manifests how great God really is. Do you need that influence? Do you need that empowerment? Do you need that influence? And really, it comes through the Holy Spirit. Do you need that influence to be able to love when they're just hard to love? They just treated you in a way that they just ripped open your document. They just tore it apart. They had no consideration of what you just got through doing. They've not no consideration of maybe what you've done in their life. And all of a sudden, the treatment of you has been rough, hard. God says, my love for you is going to impact your life. If you possess it, if you take hold of it, and it's yours from me, then no matter what you go through, I will influence your life. I will fill you. I will influence your life to be able to manifest who I am in the midst of your trial and your persecution. That is the goodness of our God. No one is like him. So you begin to see that the church really needs to manifest the love. If anybody needs to manifest the love of God, the church should do that. Shouldn't we? But then you have bickerings and you have this, and they can't get along. This church can't get along with that church, and this church can't get along with that. We just want to build our own little kingdom. We don't have any kingdoms. There's only one kingdom that's being built, and that's his. You know, I had a man to ask me, said, "So what denomination are you?" And I said, "I don't even know if we are a denomination. All I know is that we believe the Bible, and we want to walk with Christ in it." You know, so, well, you know, well, who's your covering? I said, "Well, we have elders in place that cover." I'm not the anything. We have the covering of elders. We have those that I answer to. But then we have more. We have some in Charlotte that we answer to Charlotte, to Morningstar. We have some pastors there that if something happens, we can answer. We answer to them. Then Francis French Pan is national. He's part of our covering. He's part of the ones that I'm accountable to. That's the reason that one day that I was taking him home from here, one day he said, "How do you like ICIT? We've been in ICIT for me, had been in a long time, for a long time. He said, "How do you like ICIT? I said, "Well, love it. It's changing my life." Pastor Tom Elkins is in the back, and I'm driving, and he says, "Well, I see it hadn't changed your life about the speed limit." Speed went down all of a sudden. But see, that's the law of the land. So, well, did he get on to me? No. He lovingly was just, hey, he was helping me become more holy than I was acting. Do you get that? So you begin to see that stuff. The church has to be the people that manifest the love of God. And we have people that do not want to be corrected. You can teach me, but don't correct me. A lot of times, teaching is the correction. It is the correction. Somebody asked me one time before, said, "Does God still step on your toes?" I said, "I don't know when he gets off of them." People, I hear things that don't even have to be a message. It can be just some of you guys, any of you guys. Sometimes it'll be something that you say, something that you do, something that you model that pricks my heart about something. And I said, I really got to do more. I really got to surrender more. So you begin to see that the church, it's our responsibility. But without possessing the flooding of the experience of God's love, without being flooded with his love, we will not be able to manifest his love to other people. You know, it's like this. It says, we love pizza. That ain't the same love as loving God. That ain't the same love as God loving us. So when we are captivated, when you become captivated by his love, and it's yours, no matter what happens, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, it's yours. Can't take it from you. Can't separate it. Miss Susan was singing about, there's no way you can be separated. I can't be separated from his love. See, that's a song, but it's true. It's true. It's in the word of God. You can't be separated by his love. And he uses a parable that we'll discuss just a little bit. And he uses a parable that teaches us how we go along in this. And I want you to go to Mark. This one you may have, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Hey, she's good. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Jesus is talking, and he says this, the kingdom of God is like. Now, what is he talking about? The kingdom of God. Don't forget, he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself knows not how. So he begins to give this, and then he says, okay, after the seed is sown, what's he talking about? The kingdom of God. He said, after the seed is sown, he said, the soil, in verse 8, the soil produces crops by itself. First, the blade. It just barely comes up. There's the little blade. First, the blade. Then he says, then the head. And then the mature grain. The mature grain that's in the head. That mature grain is the Christ-likeness of our lives. He said, and then that's in the head. But when the crop permits. This is what I was talking about last week that I didn't really get to finish, about him coming. The thing is, he said, but when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So the kingdom of God, in God's eyes, is he's going to bring in souls to be saved. Is that correct? He's going to lead souls to accept who he is. That's one harvest. There'll be a harvest when there's going to be thousands and thousands that come to Jesus. You may say, I don't see how. He does. He'll do it by his spirit. But you're going to see people come to know Christ. All of us, I guess, hopefully everybody has come to know Christ. That we have been harvested to the place of, I know Jesus. I'm born again. This one right here is a harvest of a different kind. And the kingdom of God is like this harvest. And what does he say about it? He said, seed's going to be sown. He said, blade's going to come up. The stalk's going to come up. The head's going to come. The grain that's in the head is going to come up. And it's going to become full. That's when he says, but when the crop permits. Have you ever seen anybody plant a big field? Let's see, is George here? You here? Yeah. You still do soybean? Yeah, you still do soybean and all. Have you ever planted your soybean and let it rain on it, and then after a little while, you just say, "I'm done waiting on this," and you plow it all up? No. And let me help you. Don't try that because I said it. Don't try that either. Why? Why? You don't, it's like planting. Is it, I mean, plant tomatoes for the garden. You do garden. I mean, after a while, you plant the tomato and it grows, and all of a sudden you see this little bloom, and then you see this little bitty tomato come on. And sometimes we have to watch out for Jen, the little grandbaby. She'll go out and she sees them, and she just loves the little things. And but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how many of us that I ought to have tomatoes by now. Look how little they are. Pull them up and get it. We don't do that. Neither does the Father. So the Father is saying the kingdom is like this. There's going to be a harvest of mature Christians, mature Christ followers that I will harvest when the crop is ready. That's what the Bible says. So when the Christ-likeness in our life begins to become in full bloom, he says, I'm going to harvest it. That's his harvest, not ours. Do you see that? So you have a harvest us growing up. So when we have so many Christians that do not grow up in him, we just sit and say and not do. That's when we're not going to be full. The head of, we will not be filled with the seed and the grain of Christ-likeness in God. I'm not saying you don't have Jesus. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions has not been evangelized to the place that you're changed to be like him. You accepted him for him to be in you, and you're in him. But see, this thing about the mature harvest, we've got to be the people who are becoming Christ-like, just like Jesus. That's what he wants the church to be. Instead of having church fights, we fight the devil. You don't fight each other. Fight the devil. Okay. So this is the place that he's saying, I'm looking, I'm waiting. That's the reason I'm saying I don't know that it is a date. He knows whether it is or not. But I do know this. He said when the crop's ready, he'll harvest. He'll harvest. When the crop permits, the harvest is ready. And there's going to be a harvest of believers, of mature believers. Believe it or not, it's right here in red. It is in red that's going to happen. Jesus' words, that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom that you're in. So you begin to see that he wants to see the harvest of Christ followers with spiritual maturity. He wants to see Christ-likeness ripen in our life. There's a day and age that is approaching. The end of time. It is approaching. I don't know when that is. He knows. But between now and then, you know what our job is to do? Become Christ-like. No, that is mine and your purpose in God. We can do all this other stuff without being Christ-like. We have not fulfilled the mandate that he's asked us to do. We've done a lot of other stuff, but it didn't look like Christ. It didn't look like his son. He gave his son for us to look like him, to act like him, to live like him, to walk like him, to talk like him. He gave us his son. And he's going to accept little more. He's going to accept less than that? No. That's the fullness. He said that is the fullness of God. The fullness of God. The complete character of God. Wanting us to become that way. Over in, you begin to look at it and you begin to see that there's a planting that God says, I planted you. You're here because God's planted you. A planting of the Lord. planted here in this place. See, God says that each member is placed in the body as God desires. So I look at it like God, it's God's desire for you to be here, right here. That's what the Bible says. The members are planted into the very place that he desires. See, it's not just, well, you know, I might go to your mind. See, no, we're the planting of the Lord. Is everybody planted here? No, because he has places all over the world that he's planted people. For them to become Christ-like in the very place that they're in and be able to spread his love and his character everywhere they go. And let me finish. I was scolded, but God said, whatever happened to the little child that you talked about that was laying down in Ingles? I had two or three people to ask me, said, you left us hanging. What happened to the little child? He's laying there kicking and screaming, and you don't know where to run over him or not. I really wasn't going to run over the kid, but anyway, three people said, what's the rest of the story? I'm going to have to finish that story because I'm forgetting. People said, finish the story. Here's the finish of the story. I went and looked, and I said, not three people, the child, me, and the mother. And I went over to her, and I said, ma'am, is this your son? He's still on the floor screaming. He's still doing all. Is this your son? She's holding a can of something. I don't really know what it was. And she casually turns, and he's kicking and screaming. Said, yep, that's my son. And I'm looking at her, and I said, do we need to do anything? She said, nope, leave him alone. He'll quit it in a little bit. And he's like, you can hear my little store. So I go around him and everything, and I get turned. And then all of a sudden, I hear her. She's right behind me. She gets behind me, and she gets to the end of the aisle and stops, pauses. Then looks back, the screaming has stopped. And he's up and he's, Mama! Mama! She looks at me and said, told you. That's a way of discipline that I knew nothing about. But that's the end of the story. So no more text. No more text. Look at Ephesians. I guess I got enough time. Yeah. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. He says, see, Jesus descended and he ascended, and then he said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. This word gave, he said, he furnished someone who wholly follows him. That's more than just a giving a gift. No, that is giving something that is going to be completely following Jesus. So there'll be apostles, there'll be prophets, there'll be evangelists, and there'll be pastors, and there'll be teachers that are not completely following him. Those are the ones that Jesus didn't give. Did y'all hear me? There'll be some that wants to do what? They want to do what they want to do. And he says, that's not the one that I'm giving you. The ones I'm giving you are the ones that sold out for me, and they'll look after my interest and not their own. So if when you say something, if you say you're a pastor and you're going to pastor a church, then you have got to look after the interest of Jesus and not your own interest. If you're an evangelist, same way. If you're a prophet, same way. If you know, say, well, I'm a prophet of God. We'll find out. We'll find out with the testing of things. To see if it's about them or is it about Jesus. Listen, this is good teaching. It truly is to be able to open up the things that says, look, Christ said, I have given you, that I have given you people that wholly follows me. He goes on and says, for the equipping, for the completely furnishing of the saints for the work of ministry, for the work of service. Not all, why are you telling us that, Pastor? Well, I'm going to get to it. Why is the work of the ministry so important? He said, to the building up of the body of Christ. To the building up means to promote one's growth to holiness. To build up is to promote one's growth to holiness. You can do religion, but it won't help them. It won't produce holiness. So he goes on and says, to promote, he said, until holiness in the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity or the oneness in the faith and the knowledge of God, knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the stature to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's the fullness of Christ again. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I'm sending you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to be able to equip you to be able to grow up into holiness. I've already made you holy, but you're going to grow up in it. And not only that, they're going to be able to bring you to the place to where you have the oneness with each other to a mature person. There's that mature grain again, to a mature person which belongs to the fullness of God. Then he says this, why would he do that? Why would Jesus do that? Next verse. As a result, you will no longer be children. We'll always be the children of God. This word children means to be untaught and unskilled and childish. He don't want us to be childish. We have to have our way, like the kid in the grocery store. We have to have our way. It's childish. It's untaught. And it's childish. He said, this is a result of the equipping that I'm sending people to do inside you. No longer will you be childish. No longer will you be tossed here and there by the waves. No longer will you be agitated. A wave comes in, it's agitating. And then it goes out. And then it comes back. Well, I'm going to go this way. Am I going to go this way? Am I going to go this way? Am I going to go? In God. He said, no. The proper equipping of the proper people is going to bring you to the place to where you're no longer tossed. Isn't that great? That you're no longer tossed. You're no longer tossed by the waves. And no longer are you carried by the wind of doctrine. Anyway, the wind blows this way, the wind blows that way, and then it's like, well, maybe this is right. Listen, there's going to be, that's the thing about teachings. There's all kind of teachings out there. Some of them's not from God. And we get tossed by it, or we get carried about. We get carried over in this direction. Has anybody ever went in the wrong direction before? Me too. And all of a sudden you realize, how did I get here? And the reason we got there was because we either were carried about or we were tossed in this direction. But you're looking around and said, God, where are you? I'm right here, but I'm not in that. I'm right here with you, but that's not me. That belongs to somebody else. It's not me. So he says, and you no longer be carried about, nor will you be tricked or defrauded by men. Fake men. You won't be taken by the fakeness. Did you know that there are false brethren in the church pretending to be brothers and sisters in God? The Bible says they're false brethren. It's a fakeness. He said you won't be impacted by it. He said, and the deceitful scheming that is there, and this is to be led astray. All of this, he says, I want you to be fulfilled in my goodness, my mercy, my character. I want you to be more like Jesus, more like my son. Amen. Amen. That's the fullness of God. John 1, 6, 16 says, "And for of his fullness we have all received from his fullness grace upon grace." You know what that means? Upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. How many of you, you've been blessed by God? And you've been blessed by God more than one time. I mean a bunch of times. So that is his grace. That is his grace. And I looked over and I see somebody named Grace. Hey, Grace, how are you doing? Good to see you. So, Nick, you've got grace upon grace upon grace. So he even gave you somebody named Grace to help you out. So that's good. So you begin to see that, right? So are we at a place to where we said, look, I'm in the church, I'm part of the church, his church, being built by him, and I want to be in the fullness of who he says. I want to be more like Jesus. If that's you, stand to your feet. I want to be more like Jesus. Father, I thank you for these people standing. I thank you, God, that they are ripening. They're becoming more and more ripe with you. And we do know that as we get to the fullness, that one day you're going to harvest us in. And we're grateful. So give us the courage, give us the strength, and show us your love to the place that no matter what we go through, no matter what touches our lives, that we will in turn give the love of God and the character of God away to others so that they too may be touched by your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat, please. Come on up. Did you need me? Oh, let's go. Is Matthew here? Okay, we'll pray for him. So go right ahead. Let's pray for Matthew. Matthew Van Busker, he's going to the army. So Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to inspire this young man as he yields to your will and he yields to God to go serve his country as he serves you. We ask you, God, to put people around him that is cooperating with you to make him the fullness of who you are. Lord, touch his life. Lord, and when it gets tough and when it gets hard, help him. Help Matthew depend upon you and to understand that nothing's touching his life that you won't make better. So build him into the young man that he needs to be. Build him into the soldier that he needs to be. Build him into the man of God that he needs to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just wanted to remind you guys of a few things. The new coffee sessions that's going on in Sunday school right now with Brother Ed. The pressure is off, so make sure if you haven't come today. I heard it was a barn burner is what I heard. Brother Ed, I heard, where's Ed at? I don't even see him. I heard it was a barn burner. So there he is. There. Well, I heard it was good. So I was taking care of some copies and stuff. Also, we got some things coming up this month. Make sure you go to the church's website and click on info. There's a ton of stuff going on, and we don't want you to miss out on anything. So make sure you're catching up there. And also just want to remind you, if you've not registered and paid for the marriage the conference that's coming up August 27th, 29th, for such a time as this, choose you this day. Do you want to be happily married or not? Just kidding. You can still be married. Just a joke. But we do want to invite everyone. If you've not registered for that, you need to get on that because it's going to be a wonderful time at Pigeon Forge. Amen. Did we hear from the Lord this morning? Amen. Do we have any first-time visitors? We got one. So make sure you visit Pastor at the back at the double doors. He's got a gift for you to make sure you go back there and visit with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for this life-changing word that we've heard this morning from Pastor God. And Lord, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would apply the wisdom we heard this morning from your Bible, your word, that it will change us, and we just won't be listening, but we'll be doing what we heard. And we ask you to give us the grace to go out this week and to accomplish what you have called us to accomplish. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.